That's a blessing. Are we back on, Daniel? We're back on? Okay. All right. Had a little technical glitch there or something. Hey, that stuff's great when it works, isn't it? When it doesn't, it's crazy. But, amen. All right. We're still, as I said, looking in the book of Ruth, and we've looked at the first couple of chapters, and we've talked about the challenge for the family, all right? The family and a challenge. And certainly, as we'd all say, man, our families today seem to have and feel and know about those challenges. But we saw the challenge of being torn in that first chapter, and how that there was, you know, the problems and the issues with the family. And then as you got into chapter number 2, we saw those challenges, how that, man, there was all kinds of stuff going on in Ruth's family, and she meets Boaz, and she finds out a few things, but there's all of a sudden, there are blessings there for her in that time. And then in chapter number 3, it has ended in chapter number 2 with Ruth realizing or knowing that somebody has been a blessing to her and helped her, but her mother-in-law understands what is going on, and she tells her. She says in chapter number 2 and verse number 20, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said unto her, "The man is near to kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." And I don't know that Ruth really understood all of that kinsmanship, redemption. I don't know that she understood all of those facts, but she knew that was important. She realized it. So if you look, now if you remember when we started, or at the end of chapter number 1, we found out that it was the time of barley harvest. It was the time of barley harvest, and in the time of the barley harvest, it began at a certain time, went on probably for maybe a little more than a month or so. It was probably about that period of time until you see the final of the harvest and the threshing of it and all those things that will go through it. So what we think is, what many folks think is, that this time period from the end of chapter number 1 through chapter 2, beginning in chapter number 3, is close to a month. There's some period of time, several weeks anyway, that has transpired. And Ruth is, I mean, she realizes, man, there's something going on. This man has been a blessing to her and her mother-in-law in the fact that they had no one else to turn to. They had nobody else to rely on, nobody else that could help them. And now here they found somebody that blesses them and is helping meet them with all of this food and all of the situation of them coming back as widows. They just found something that they needed at this time. Now, again, keep this in mind. As Naomi came back in at the end of chapter number 1, you remember what she says? She says, "Don't call me Naomi anymore. I want you to call me Mara, because the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." The name Naomi meant pleasant or happy. The name Mara meant bitter. And that's the way that Naomi felt. Like, here's all of this. It's turned against me. Life has turned against me. And now what am I supposed to do? And she said, "Don't any of y'all call me Miss Pleasant, Miss Happy anymore. Call me Miss Bitter, because I'm bitter about my life and where I'm at." And as a matter of fact, notice what she says in the end of that chapter as she comes back in verse 21. She said, "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty." I mean, that's the way she felt like her life was, that things were just going in such a direction that she could say, "My life is completely empty." So let's look, if you will, in chapter number 3. 18 verses, the Bible said, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her," speaking to Ruth, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down, thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down into the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid, turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, insomuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true, I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. And he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty to thy mother-in-law. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until thou knowest how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Let's have a word of prayer again. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us and for the good music, for your blessings. And I pray now, just give us your direction. Give us your instruction and your wisdom out of the Scripture tonight. Just open our hearts and our minds to the things that we read. And I pray you get honor and glory out of it. I pray you'd burden our heart for lost folks and save them. And we'll just, again, give you praise for everything you do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This tonight, I want to talk about the challenge to the family. I want to talk about the challenge of tranquility. The challenge of tranquility. Now, the reason I say that is, look in verse number 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, they have become so close that it's not daughter-in-law anymore. She considers her her daughter. My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Now, I want you to notice that term there. She said, shall I not seek rest for thee? And the idea behind that word rest is the idea of a tranquil resting place, a restful place, a peaceful place. And really, it had the idea wound in with it that it was a place that rest is for all of us. It's a place where you felt secure, settled, and happy. Doesn't that describe a home? Doesn't that describe to you what you think the ideal situation would be in any person's home today, is that it would be a place of rest. And that's exactly what Naomi has in mind. I'm trying to find you a place where you will be taken care of, where you'll feel secure, where you'll have something to eat, where you won't worry about how the bills are going to be paid. You won't worry about what's going to be in the future. I want to put you in a place where you'll have that rest. Shall I not seek a place of rest for thee? That's exactly what she had told her before they left. You know, she told both of her daughter-in-laws back in chapter number 1. She said, look, y'all need to go back. She said, I can't provide this rest that you need. Go find rest with your own families. Go find rest with your own people. Go find rest and find another husband. But isn't it amazing now that Naomi has said, look, I'm going to help you. Now, you know what we call that nowadays? We call it little sister matchmaker. Amen? I mean, isn't that right? But and that's kind of what it looks like here is going on. But I think there's really a bigger picture than that. As I say, I think she's really got a well-intentioned heart. Naomi does now. That she wants to find a place, a home, a secure place, a peaceful and tranquil place, if you will, for the heart of Ruth. And as a matter of fact, that's not just going to help Ruth. It's going to help Naomi also, because there will be provision in what she says and what she does will be there to help the mother-in-law also, since she is an heir of that property that will be in the redemption process. Okay, so, but let's look at this, and let's talk about, as I said, the challenge of tranquility. And we'll say this first of all. Let's look at the procuring of the tranquility. I mean, the procuring of this, and the procuring of it, as you see in the beginning, is that Naomi says, look, I'm going to help you. She said, shall I not seek rest for thee? I am going to help you, and I'm going to help you procure this of tranquility, this place of your security, if you will. I'm going to help you with that. Well, how is she going to help her with that, preacher? Well, I want you to notice what she's going to do. It's going to come, first of all, she says it will be a place. It'll be a place. She said in verse number 1, shall I not seek rest for thee? Rest is found in a place. I mean, hey, as I said, the ideal situation is that this is home. Isn't that the ideal place of rest? I mean, man, when you get to thinking about it, you think, I'm going to go home. You know what I'm going to, you know what I can do at home? I can kick my shoes off at home. I can kick back in my recliner at home. I can lay around on my couch at home. I can get up and prowl the cabinets, look in the refrigerator. I can get up and, you know, if I want something to drink or I want something to eat, hey, man, I just make myself at home. And it's a restful place for me. You ever been around to other people's houses? Sometimes it's like you just, you know, I'd like to go prowl their cabinets, but I'm civil, okay? You know, I'm not going to do that. But isn't it nice when you just get home, you can just kind of, as the old saying is, let your hair down. I mean, you can just kick back and, boy, hallelujah. And I'm telling you that she said, you need that place. We all need that place. Aren't you glad when you get saved that you find that place in your salvation? Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? I'll give you rest. And he said it would be rest unto your souls. I need some rest today, don't you? I know, as I mentioned this morning, I think a lot of folks are just absolutely worn down and wore out by this season of year. I mean, we've run and we've went with family and gone here and shopped and cooked and, you know, done all this stuff. And it does. It takes a toll on people during this time of year. I got it. I understand that. But can I tell you this? Man, I want you to know you can find rest when you come to the house of God. You can find rest. It's a place. But not only does she talk about there's a place, but I want you to know, she says, I want you to find that place, but I want you to find that peace. Listen to what she says. Shall I not find rest for thee? Look at the end of that. That it may be well with thee. I want you to find some peace. I mean, there's tension. There's an insecurity right now, if you will. They're worried, as I say, about their food. They're worried about who's going to do this and how the property's going to be kept up and who's going to take care if this happens and who's going to take care of the house, who's going to fix the leaks, who's going to take care of the foundation, who's going to, you know, all this stuff that could be a problem if you're having to do it. And you've got two women, brother, they're in a pretty precarious situation and they need something that will bring some peace during this time. She said, I'm going to find something, she said, so that it may be well with thee. In other words, I want you to find a peaceful thing. Not just find a place, but I want it to be a peaceful place. And thank God, aren't you glad? Jesus said, I'll give you some peace, a peace that passes the understanding of this crazy world. Oh, you and I, we hear all these people right now, you know, they're talking about Ukraine, Russia, all that, and our president said, I'm going to go in here and we're going to have a peace treaty. I want to tell you something. Hey, when it comes to men down here and their evil, wicked hearts, there is no peace. Amen. The only time we're going to have peace is when the Prince of Peace himself comes on the scene. And even in the midst of all of this crazy in the world, you can have peace in your heart when you know the Prince of Peace, which is Jesus, our dear Lord, okay? So she says, I want you to have that place, and I want it to be a place of peace. But she said, you know what? Even looking at it that way, the procuring of this requires a person. Do you see what she says there? Verse number 2, and now. After she's learned about who this man is. And now, is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. It's Boaz is the person. Now, we don't know for sure. I think there's some discussion on this. But there's one of the things that I read that talks about the name Boaz. And the name Boaz, they think, may mean this, and it sounds right. In him is strength. In him is strength. Oh, aren't you glad that there's somebody stronger than me anyway? And I think that's what Naomi, you need somebody that's stronger than you are, Ruth. You need somebody that's stronger than me and you together. You need somebody that's got the strength to hold this thing together. You need somebody that's got some strength to lift you up and get you out and help you on. You need somebody with some strength. And his name is Boaz. I'm telling you, he's not a perfect type in this story, but Boaz is a type of Jesus. Amen? He is our kinsman redeemer. He's the one that's going to buy us out of our place where we're fretful and fearful and just in all kinds of trouble. Thank God he said, I can buy you, I can take you, I can get you out of that. Amen. And I'm glad we've got a kinsman redeemer. A kinsman redeemer. And here he is. She realizes, man, if we're going to procure this tranquility, if we're going to procure this security for you, if we're going to get you in this situation, it's going to take a person. I mean, listen, you think about this now. Here, Naomi, as well as Ruth, they've been living on the blessings that have been provided by Boaz. Stay in my field. Don't go anywhere else. Boys drop some hands full on purpose every once in a while. I mean, they've been living on those blessings, right? And it's one thing to get out there and enjoy the blessings. But now you know what Naomi's saying. Naomi is saying this. You've seen the blessings, but now I want you to meet the blesser. I want you to meet the one. I want you to get in with the one. I want you to be with the one that's providing it. You know, there's folks in this world that they really, if you think about it, they enjoy the blessings of God every day, but they just don't know the one that's providing the blessings. I mean, they may have bank accounts and homes and jobs and all of that stuff in the world, and they're enjoying those blessings. They eat well every day. They're clothed fine. They live in good places. All of that. But thank God, boy, I'm telling you, every once in a while, you need to look up and find the blesser, the one that's pouring this stuff out on you. And Naomi says, I want you. We're loving the blessings. We're getting fed. We're getting taken care of. But I want to find out about the blesser. Amen. I want to go take this thing a step further. Can I tell you, friend, I'm glad in the procuring of our salvation. When the Lord did, he didn't just say, well, I'm going to give you salvation. He put us into a relationship with the Savior. We can meet him and know him and fellowship and just sit and bask in the good love and glory of God. Amen. Isn't that good? I mean, just to know what we got. So, first of all, she talks about the procuring of this tranquility. But second of all, look at this. She gives her a little outline, if you will, I guess, a little thought about the preparation for this tranquility. Look in verses 3, 4, and 5. She tells her, she said, now look, he's going to be down at the threshing floor. He's going to be down there getting the husk off the barley grain and collecting that up. You go down there. He's down there tonight. But look what she said in verse number 3. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. I mean, she says, look, there is a preparation that you need to get into for meeting this man. Now, I'm not saying you've got to do these things to be saved, but I'm telling you, when the Lord saves you, and you get ready, when you and I meet him, I'll tell you, he's looking for something. What do you call it? Well, we would call that being sanctified. After you get saved, the Lord's looking for some people to have a little bit of sanctification about them. You see what he said? She said, wash thyself therefore. Brother, can I tell you, you may be saved, but they still sometimes, you need to do a little cleanup, amen, on aisle you. Get on the aisle you and say, hey, you know what? I need cleaning up, Lord. Get in the Word of God. Let that water of that Word wash you. I mean, get yourself cleaned up, amen. You need to come into the Lord's presence and into His place, and you need to have yourself a little clean up, amen. I'm telling you, you're going to get dirty. You're going to get filthy out here in this world sometimes because you're trodden in an old rough place. Come in, say, God, you're going to have to clean me up. Hey, by the Word of God, it's going to happen. He says, wash yourself. Don't you go in there in a dirty way. You go in cleaned up and anoint thee. I mean, you know what that is? That's some of that Bath and Body Works stuff, ladies. Amen. I mean, put on some of that smell good, you know. Get yourself, I mean, find you something. Men, get you some of that Brute Splash hat on. I mean, tighten it up, look good, smell great. Amen. I mean, smell better. Amen. I'm telling you. Hey, y'all probably don't remember. I remember when we was in junior high school. That's when it all started for us boys. I get in there and I think, where in the world them goats come from? Because they stink in here. And I mean, they'd break out right guard, left guard, middle guard, everybody else's guard. And hey, some of them still stink right on through that. Amen. I mean, they're sweating and stinking and hormones and aftershave and everything else running around. It wasn't helping too much, okay? So, you know, we need the anointing. Amen. I mean, we need, but what I'm saying here is the Lord wants us to clean up in that, but then He wants you to get that anointing on you of the precious Holy Spirit of God. I mean, when you get that spiritual anointing that comes from Him, it'll make such a difference in your life. When you know that, boy, the Spirit of God is there, and the Spirit of God's working, the Spirit of God's doing, hey, it is the anointing of God that helps me and you. So she's telling her, she's like, look, you need this sanctification process, wash yourself, anoint you, and then put on raiment. Amen? Put on something that is fitting for a child of God. I mean, isn't that amazing? Boy, we ought to be decked out as best we can when we come to the house of God. But I'm telling you, it's that spiritual clothing. Aren't you glad that the Bible tells us over in the book of Revelation, it talks about how that, you know, there's those martyrs, but they're clothed in robes of white. They've got on that garment of what the Lord's going to do. Me and you, one of these days, we're going to be wearing the whitest whites there are. Amen? I mean, I like to wear a white shirt, and I do that a lot, but I'm telling you, one of these days, it's going to be so white it'll blind your eyes. It'll knock you. I'm telling you, God's got something that will glow, amen. And it's going to be the righteousness that comes only from heaven. We're going to be clothed, and we are now clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen. Thank God. She's saying to her, she said, look, there's a little process that you've got to go through. But she says, not only that, here's something else you've got to do in preparation. She said, do all of these things. But she said, get thee down to the floor. Get you down there. And when you get down there, she said, thou shalt go in. She said, to make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down. And he will tell thee what thou shalt do. You know what she's telling him to do? Go in and just be still for a while. Don't go in, guns a-blazing, mouth a-running, and, you know, demanding and talking and doing that. You just go in and don't make yourself known. Don't go in and cause a scene. Don't go in and do all of this stuff. He said, look, you should go in an honorable and in a right and righteous way. Go in. He's busy. He's got things that he's doing. Don't interfere. Don't get in his way. Don't bother him. Don't trouble him. Just go down there and just be still for a few minutes. Amen? Can I tell you, sometimes we come into church and we want to whoop it up. Amen? We want to stir it up. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. You know what we need to do? We need to just be still and see what God's going to do. I want God to make the first move. I mean, and I'll be honest with you, I've been guilty of, oh, we're going to shout and run and hoop and holler. No, sometimes God don't want that. Do you know I've been in some of those where it's been quiet and still and nothing exciting we'd say is going on, but God would show up in the most tremendous ways at those times. He just comes in and he's just there. And you and I just wait upon him. Aren't you glad your Bible still says, wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord, hey, they shall mount up with weight. The Bible tells me, be still and know that I'm God. I mean, there is a value and a worth in just being still sometimes. Amen? Hey, some folks, oh, we've got to get up and we've got to shout and we've got to run and we've got to hoop and holler. You don't have to. It's not always that God is in those things. So she's telling her, you know, just learn the value of stillness and to be quiet. So she tells her this, just wait. Wait for the right time. It shall be when he lieth down. Wait for the right time. Go in, uncover his feet, and lay thee down. It'll be told thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. I mean, she's saying, look, I want you to understand that this whole process is going to be a process of your submission. It's going to be submission. She says, go in and uncover his feet. Now, you know, to me and you, I would say we would think, well, this is a little bit of a, you know, this is a little shady. Not in their day. This wasn't considered anything necessarily even uncommon. It wasn't considered risque. It wasn't considered, you know, being a sexual advancement. It wasn't any of that. It wasn't any of that. It was the matter and the order of the day. She went and laid down at his feet. She wasn't laying down at his side. She's laying down at his feet. She was showing herself to be in a place of submission. As a matter of fact, what she was about to do, what she was about to propose to have done and all the things that will follow, all of that was part of the law of the people of Israel. If there was somebody and they needed that kinsman redeemer to help them, then they had every right to go to him and say, redeem my property, redeem my life. And in doing so, it included the marriage of the widow whose husband had died, leaving her childless. I mean, that was her privilege. It wasn't her being forward. It wasn't her being a loose woman or anything. It was her being there and saying, this is what my mother-in-law has explained to me. And you know what she's doing? She's doing it in a totally submissive manner. I mean, Ruth knew that this was the right thing to do. And as I say, she didn't go in as some kind of victim and say, oh, my rights have been... No. She didn't do that. But she went in as a servant, trusting in the goodness of Boaz. She's expecting Boaz to be the gentleman that he is. She's looking at him and she's saying this, I trust you, I respect you, and I am hinging my future on what and how you respond. How you're going to deal with this situation. That's what she's doing right here. I mean, she realizes this pretty delicate thing. Now, look, this almost seems like a dangerous move, doesn't it? I mean, what happens if he says no? What happens if he gets offended by this? What happens if he gets all in a, you know, like, oh, who are you? What do you think you're doing? What are you trying to take from me? I mean, she had no idea necessarily how he's going to react. But I think Naomi did. She said, he's not that kind of guy. This is the kind of guy, if you've been right, you're doing right, you're honorable, he'll react in the same way. And isn't it amazing that he does? I mean, look, but they knew the character of Boaz. Boaz is a godly and a good man. Look there in chapter 2, and verse number 1. It says in chapter 2, verse 1, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. You see that it says he was a mighty man? It doesn't mean that he was just necessarily super strong and all that. He might have been all of that, but he was a man that had some wealth, a man that had respect, and a man that had place in that society. They knew who he was, what kind of man he was. Everybody knew it. And now Ruth knows as she gets to go further into this. So Ruth looks at her mother-in-law there in verse number 5, and she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. So she said, I am learning to be submissive. Then look at this real quickly. Look at the petition that she has for her tranquility. First of all, you'll notice there in verse number 6, she went down to the floor and did according to all their mother-in-law bade her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. I want you to notice that she lay herself, as I said, in a submissive place. She lay at his feet. She lay down there at his feet. She brought herself before him. And then I want you to notice this. Hey, in verse number 8, it says, and it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid, turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. She's asking to be covered and to be included into the family of Boaz now. If you want to call it a proposal, if you want to call it Sadie Hawkins Day, whatever you want to call it, that's what's going on. Amen? She's saying, I want you to redeem me and our property and my mother-in-law, surely all at the same time. I mean, she's making, if you will, a proposal. I mean, but more than anything, hey, she's laying at his feet, but now she's looking for his favor. She's looking for his favor. Look what it says. Verse number 10, and he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Do you realize this? As I said there in chapter number 2, verse number 1, everybody knew what kind of man that Boaz was. He was a mighty man. He was a good man. He was a godly man. He was an honorable man. And you know what he said? Everybody in town knows what you are too, Ruth. They know you are a virtuous woman. You know what that means? She ain't been out here running after the boys. He said, you haven't been out here running after me, whether poor or rich, whether they're young or old, or whether they've got or whether they don't have anything. You haven't been out here. Everybody knows you're a virtuous woman. As I told you, isn't it a blessing to think maybe those years later that great-grandson Solomon sat down there and said, Who can find a virtuous woman in chapter 31 of Proverbs? For her price is far above Ruth. And maybe he's sitting there thinking, you know, great-grandmother Ruth was a virtuous woman. And he began to think about all those qualities that he'd been told was in that great, great, great woman that he honored with his writing and in his heart. Amen? I mean, listen, here he is. Here she is, and she, Boaz said, everybody knows. Everybody knows that you are a virtuous woman. So she's looking for Boaz's favor. And then, listen, she learns about Boaz's his faithfulness. Look in verse 12. And now it's true, he says, that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there's a kinsman nearer than I. But look what he says. Tarry this night. And it shall be in the morning that if he'll perform unto thee part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part. But if not, if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee as the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. He said, I'm going to give you my word, and my word is faithful. I will do what I can do. Amen. Woo! Aren't you glad Jesus did what me and you couldn't do? That he was faithful to his Father, that he was faithful to the task, that he was faithful to the cross, that he was faithful. And God gave him the burden of all our sins. He paid the debt. And then thank God he rose again on the third day. Amen. He's faithful in every bit of that. You know, Boaz said, look, you can lean on me and learn from me, and I'm going to show you my faithfulness. And he does that. Now, I want you to notice, now, still, chapter 4 before you get to the conclusion of this, but real quickly here, look at these last few verses and notice about the profitability of this tranquility. First of all, I want you to notice this, that in verse 14, he secured her honor. And she lay at his feet until the morning. She rose up before one could know another, and he said, let it not be known that a woman came to the floor. I want you to know he secured her honor. He said, don't let no loose lips, don't let no idle words, don't let anything be said, don't let it even be known that there was a woman, and particularly this woman that came down to the threshing floor. Don't anybody say a word about this. He said, I'm giving you a word. Don't you talk bad about my bride-to-be. Amen? I mean, that's what he's saying. I don't want to hear a word about this. Hey, there was nothing out of the way. There was nothing that was lewd. There was nothing that was aggressive either way. There was nothing that happened that night that wasn't right in the sight of God. Amen? And he said, I don't want to hear no talk, no word, no gossip started. He was securing her honor. But not only that, don't you notice he takes care of her honor, but then he secures her hunger. Look in verse 15. And also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. Wow. You're not leaving empty-handed. Let me give you something since you're here. Let me bless you one more time with the blessing. Oh, you're learning about the blesser, but I'm going to give you some more of the blessings. Amen? And he pours out. And listen, the Bible says there that he gave her 6 measures. Now, I don't know. I don't have a clue how much 6 measures. At some other parts, and I think maybe even some other Bible translations, maybe, I'm not sure about that, but there's some folks that say it was 6 ephahs, E-P-H-A-S, which is a measurement in those grains and that kind of thing. I don't think she'd have carried 6 ephahs. It'd been about 200 pounds. I couldn't have carried that much, amen? I wouldn't have carried that much. Whatever it was, he gave her a great portion, and she took it back home. But catch this. Look what he says to her. When you're going down and read in verse number 17, it says, when she came to her mother-in-law, and she asked her, who art thou, daughter? Verse 17. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me. For he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. He said, I want you to take this, and I don't want you. But look at the word. Don't go empty. What have we just heard Naomi say? I went out full, but I've come back empty. And you know what Boaz said? don't go home to your mother-in-law. And surely, don't go home empty. You know what did that? It was grace. Ooh, hallelujah. The grace of God. Boy, Naomi's been crying the blues and saying, I'm back here, I'm empty. And old Boaz said, don't go. We're not going to let her be empty. You take this back to her and you tell her that her cup will be full. You tell her her needs will be met. She might have felt like it was a bad deal and a rough time when she first came home. But look now, she's not empty anymore. Her bucket is full. Amen. Lawrence, you know what did that? Grace. Did she deserve it? Nope. Was it something pre-planned? Nope. I believe Boaz said, wait a minute, before you go, here. And he dumps her out 6 big healthy portions. Says, take that home to your mother-in-law because you don't need to go back there empty. She feels like her life's empty. She feels like things been robbed and taken. But I want her to be full. I want her to enjoy the fullness. Brother, can I tell you, when God fills us up, He secures our hunger. My old stinking life hungered for some righteousness and some goodness and some right thing. And you know what? Jesus, He said, blessed are they that hunger, for they shall be filled. Amen? And He filled my heart up, that hunger and thirst for righteousness. So, here she goes back. He has secured her honor. He secured her hunger. And really, again, He has secured her helper. Naomi's the one trying to help her in all this. And she said, again, remember, she said, don't go back empty. So here's Ruth. She's not empty. She goes back full. But I want you to notice what her mother-in-law says in verse number 16. When she came to her mother-in-law said, why would she say, who are you? Who art thou, my daughter? Are you Ruth? Are you Ms. Boaz? Who are you? Oh, I'm about to be Ms. Boaz. As close as I can get to it without knowing it for sure. Amen? Boy, I mean, she said, how'd this work out? How'd it go? Can't you see that? I mean, you know, think about them little old women sometimes. Ooh, let me tell you, so-and-so, I think they're going to get married. And they begin to talk about, oh, he's so cute, and she's so pretty, and blah, 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 you know, all of that stuff. Well, that's what you got right here, okay? You've got Mama Ruth, I mean, Mama Naomi, and little daughter Ruth, and, oh, tell me all about it. Ooh, isn't he the handsomest thing you've ever seen? Oh, don't he have the shiniest gold? And, oh, isn't he the strongest fellow? Oh, hallelujah, you know, they're going through, who are you? Are you Ruth, or are you going to be Miss Boaz? She said, well, let me tell you what he told me. Amen? I'll tell you what he told me. And then notice there in the very last verse, then she said, this is Naomi, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. Because she knows, listen, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Now, the Jewish day started in the evening. And Ruth gets back home. It's after dark. And she said, the next day ain't going to get through and he's going to know what's got. As a matter of fact, Boaz gets up looking at his watch and said, well, y'all open the city gates and get this thing on. I want to find out if this is my bride. I want to get this thing settled right now. And that's what's going to happen in chapter number 4. That's where we're going with that. And we know the story, right? We know that story. But isn't it thrilling to think that Naomi says, I'm here to get you through this challenge of tranquility, this challenge of your security, your rest, your peace. I'm here to help you with that. Amen? Boy, I'm glad that God knows what He's doing. Sometimes I just got to get out of the way and let Him take care and show me the way that I ought to go. Amen? All right, grab your songbook, if you will. Let's get ready to sing a verse of a song, if you will. We'll just sing page 57, Amazing Grace. How about that? That work? Amen. All right. We'll sing a little bit of Amazing Grace. Amen. Stand with us, yeah. Amazing Grace, how sweet.